as violence breaks out outside St James's Park following Newcastle's derby defeat on Sunday. A masked man lashes out at a police horse.
I went and stuck with my left hand on its neck and I've punched it on the nose.
But the pictures, you can clearly see that you're hiding your face with a mask. So the reason, a scarf. So why did you do that if it wasn't premeditated?
I fell and dropped out in the cold air I was getting in. I mean, it sounds a feeble excuse.
It does sound feeble.
I was stupid.
That's a magic number. Yes, it is. It's the magic number. Somewhere in this hip-hop soul community was born three laced up in me, and that's a magic number.
All right, everyone. Welcome to episode 99 of the Roker Report podcast with me, Simon Walsh, and Michael Graham.
Hello.
And back by popular demand, special guest David Boyle.
Woo!
Hello.
Remember him, old listeners.
Yep, turned out I fell in the same black hole as Wes Brown.
Right. How's he getting on?
He's all right. Well, I've left Titus Bramble down there, so he should be all right.
I think it's slightly iffy that, you know, we've been, like, shit for absolutely ages and we haven't heard from Dave in a second. Oh, we got a great result. Here he is.
Can't comment. Nail on head.
Right, let's get... Well, I'm forgoing big 3 points because there's absolutely nothing that will eclipse the match.
Which match?
The match of Sunday, the 14th of April, 2013, which will go down as a historic day.
Absolutely.
Whew, how fucking brilliant was that?
We've had worse days.
On a scale of 1 to fucking brilliant. That was just beyond my dreams, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just about to say, you know, sometimes when you dream about a derby, I think that actually eclipsed anything that I could even dare to dream of. It was just perfect.
There are times when we occasionally win these sort of games, but we never stuff them, do we? We never completely tear them from, like, a limb to a limb. That was what was, like, so great.
Exactly. That was like, part of the most satisfying aspect of it. It wasn't like... I mean, we just absolutely dominated them from start to finish. Not only did we win 3-0, we looked clearly at least 3 goals better than them.
Oh, at least. At least.
Arguably, may well have had a, you know, it could have been 4 or 5.
Yeah, they'll say, yeah, rule, so like goal ruled out, and we're saying, yeah, well, boo fucking who, you know, we were still miles back.
Yeah, it really kind of was like just such an unbelievable team performance. Mm-hmm. Every single person, to a man, was outstanding.
Even Phil Bardsley.
Even Phil Bardsley had a really good game.
I gave him an 8. Oof, me, I
like
gave...
like a 10 for anyone else.
Exactly. Like a 13 for, like, everybody else. I gave Phil Bardsley an 8. It's unheard of.
Yeah, it was just a magnificent performance. Like I said, but before the game started, we all kind of... Oh, Wickham's out. Oh, Larson's in midfield.
Hang on, I was fine with that.
But plenty of people were.
Yeah, the whinging lot. I mean, I just thought, for some reason, that morning, I just thought it was our day. And I've got no idea why, but I never thought it would be as good as it actually was.
I must be one of the whinging lot, because when I saw the lineup, I had a fair bit of trepidation, but as we've said, just... The way we went about the game, it just completely blew away any kind of nerves that I had. You know, it was just such a confident performance.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like, that was the thing. I mean, before the match, I was thinking, at absolute best, I think we might squeak 1-0 or something like that. I don't think anybody really saw that coming, did they?
And it was strange because, I mean, I don't know if it was the, like, same like you guys or anything, but I just felt like there was never a point in that match when I felt especially sort of, like, stressed or, you know, thinking that, you know, it was going to be really, really hard to watch. Like, I mean, even when they had that really good spell and scored, I've never, even then, I never really felt, you know, shit. I felt, you know, this is just easy to actually watch. It was the first derby that I've ever felt found easy to, like, watch.
Mm. I mean, I had a moment at half time when I went to the bar and I thought, you know, they're gonna come out the traps much better second half. So I had a, you know, I was a bit cautious then, but it didn't really materialise. I think I had a bit more of the ball, and but like you say, there was never any real moment where I ever thought, yeah, I could say they maybe nicking one, but I never thought they were going to go on to get two, or, you know, especially when we start knocking the goals in again, they were ever going to catch us.
Yeah, I was exactly the same. I thought 1-0 was a, despite how well we'd played, I thought it was a precarious lead, because, you know, this is Sunderland. How, you know, we had the lead at half time last week as well, and look what happened in the second half. Mm. So I did have a bit of worry, and then when they started to pile it on a little bit, without any creating too many things for Mignolet to do, I still, you know, was expecting it to come eventually, whether it was within the first sort of 15 minutes of the second half or with 2 seconds to go sort of thing. I just thought, yeah, this is going to end 1-1. but yeah, how wrong we can be. And how wrong we can be about David Vaughan and Adam Johnson.
I still think that Vaughan's shite.
Don't even raise anything for that wonderful finish.
Well, it was superb, but, you know, he does that, you know, once a like year. I don't think that he's especially great still. I still think that he's, you know, a fairly shite. What can I say? I just, yeah, lovely goal, but shit footballers have scored lovely goals in the past. They're going to again. It doesn't mean that he's, like, great.
Well, when it comes to Johnson, I have to admit, he played a lot better than I thought he was going to.
Yeah.
So I'll hold my hands up there. What about a couple of other people, though? Danny Graham as well.
Oh, he worked his arse off.
Yeah. Absolutely. Drafted his balls off.
He did.
That was much more like what we wanted to see, like, a month ago. Sort of thing, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So what we'd kind of hoped we'd signed.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anybody was expecting more than sort of like a 10 to 12 goal a season man.
Mm.
Sort of thing. He's certainly not, you know, he's not answered everyone's prayers, but he puts a good shift in.
Yeah, it's lead line.
He gets himself a goal every now and then. He was fantastic, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that he kind of like made a real point too. I think that we can now allay the ghosts to like rest.
Yeah.
I really do. Because he, like, showed that it doesn't matter who you support. It's, like, who you are which actually matters.
Well, that was it. I mean, I saw a few things on Twitter before the game, you know, just before the game when it was announced he was playing, and, you know, the usual don't do a chopper kind of bullshit crept back up again. But, you know, I think he absolutely rammed all those ridiculous words back down a lot of people's throats, and it was fantastic.
What about the magnificent man beast, Danny Rose?
Oof. He's too good for us. He really is too good for us. It's horrible to actually say that, but, you know, he's going to return to, like, Spurs, get in their team, and never look back. This is just what's going to actually happen. He's just too good for us.
It's like Johnny Evans all over again.
It is.
And I still haven't got over that.
Let's go through the goals. Let's relive those moments. Sessegnon's first. Who wants to bang on about that?
I'm going
to
talk because I think that we spoke about it, that what he started to actually do now is he started to just take the ball to the goal. You know how all season long he's been taking, it's like things that he didn't need to. He like held on to it for much longer than he ever needed to. He would get fouled, we would get something, and then completely waste it, and it would just be a whole load of shit. Now all he's doing, he gets the ball, he takes it to like goal, and he did it sort of like last week. This week he's done the exact same thing, and he scored, and it's absolutely great. That's what we need to actually see, like, often.
Yeah, definitely. He's almost started playing Like, we all, for a long time, wondered what to do with him.
Mm.
Well, where can we get the best out of him? And he seems to have, like, we've put him up front again now, having done that plenty of times before, but now he seems to be playing as a striker more.
He just stopped all of the bloody, the way that he just used to hang on to it for far too long and try to do stupid things, and he's just thinking more about what he needs to actually do rather than how he can look good.
And the second goal, Dave, Adam Johnson, yeah. Talk to me.
Well, that's what we've been wanting him to do since we bloody signed the bugger, isn't it? You know, that's what we paid all the money from. It just seems that Canio's really, he's one, along with Seth, he's one of the main players I think he's just got a hold of, coming from that area to pitch himself as a player and just letting him play the game. You don't, like Mike alluded to earlier, they don't need to overcomplicate things with 7 or 8 or 9 touches of ball. Just do what you do. And when he skipped past and he just kept going and he kept going, and as soon as he wrapped that left boot round, I mean, it was a little bit like what he tried at Chelsea when it clipped off Luiz, but this time it flew in the back of the net.
I mean, what I think with that goal is that although he obviously looked far better than we have actually seen, the important factor was the fact that we had people running forward, and that made the actual space for him to actually use. We never had people moving forward. We just had this kind of like plan in the past, whereas we'll let the likes of like him have it and they'll do everything. Now we're actually helping him do it.
Mm. Yeah, and then David Vaughan said, I can do this as well. And he did that thing he does once in a while, which is score an absolute beauty.
Yeah.
He looked as shocked as everybody else, didn't he?
He did, like, he really did. I mean, I just like saw that and thought, yeah, like that fucking happened. You know what I mean? It took us like 2 days to actually realise, yeah, actually, no, that actually has happened now.
The celebrations from the our new head coach were a bit of a joy to behold as well.
They were a bit, weren't they?
Just a touch.
Yeah. But, I think the knee, does the knee slide eclipse the O'Neill leap?
Oh, definitely. Ooh. Yes, without a doubt.
Dave, I heard an ooh.
No, oh yeah, definitely.
All right.
I did have to think about it, but no, there was just something special, wasn't it? Something really memorable and magic about that.
This is what we actually want to really see, though, isn't it? Everybody talks about it now. Everyone talks about us now because of what he did, not because of what we did with the like actual game. People are talking about what he did. Like everybody, Sky Sports are talking about him constantly. It's just great.
He seems to have a very good knack of walking that line between one of the lads and I'm in charge.
Mm.
Like, you know, he saw the way he kind of joined in the celebrations for the third. Then after the match, was very much had his managerial hat on.
Yeah.
Sort of like, well, you know, it's obviously brilliant, but, you know, there's another 5 games and all that sort of thing. And it just seems to be I mean, it's very early to say, but it seems like a very, very good fit for one.
He's a leader, isn't he? He's just a leader. He really is. And you can really, really tell.
Yep. Don't know where he gets that from.
Maybe heroes and like icons. Maybe. Mention names.
Who knows?
We'll probably find out.
Yeah, he's done such a brilliant job so far. I mean, result aside, the way the team's working together now and being more organised, everyone seems to know what they're doing. It's just brilliant. Everything's brilliant at the minute.
I'll tell you what I find really amazing isn't so much what he's done, but the kind of like time involved. He just seems to have had it sorted out straight away. He hasn't needed any time. And you would think that he actually could like sort it out. In like that, but he must have been working them bloody hard.
Yeah,
It really must have been. I mean, because, I mean, this is, I mean, what we actually see, I mean, yes, he has brought that, the fact that people now want to run more and that they want to actually work harder. But what he's actually brought is that the shape of the side now is so well drilled. It really is. It really is like completely different to what it was. The fact that it's actually went from you know what it was to like now in hardly any time is it's amazing. It really is.
Yeah, well, that's it because it doesn't even come across as like the normal like honeymoon period, does it?
No,
it just seems that he's almost bypassed that completely and already instilled on the side his philosophy. It's not just the lift that comes with a new manager; it's genuine tactics and actual thought into what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you're right, Dave. It looks like his team instantly.
Maybe Short knew what he was doing after all. Because, I mean, I was as skeptical as anyone. Yeah. Didn't really give a shit about his political beliefs. It was like, what's he like as a manager? I've got absolutely no idea, to be honest. You know, someone had his achievement was he'd won League Two. You wondered how far that could go, really. You know, done pretty damn good.
It's looking great, isn't it, at the minute? I mean, I know that things can turn shit really quick, especially for, you know, like our mental club. But it's looking great now, it really is.
And lastly, Dave, this one's for you. Yep. You're still with us.
Yeah.
You're a man who's expressed his anger through the medium of pissing before.
That's true.
Have you ever been angry enough to punch a horse?
Tell you what, that is a new level of fury. every now and again, those pictures, well, not every now and again, all the time, those pictures crop up on Twitter and Facebook and whatnot. And I still have to take a second thinking, fucking hell, yeah, that actually happened.
Yeah.
On a day of things that fucking hell that actually happened was a very much a phrase that went through my head quite a lot. It was topped entirely when some fucking pygmy fat knacker punched a horse.
Yeah, this is right. This is why it's always so good to really win these like games, because not only do you feel great because the game has been won, but you just know that they're going to make absolute arses of themselves afterwards. You just know it's that they're going to take it to a new level of just make themselves look completely, completely stupid.
Yeah.
Well, that was indicative of the modern age, though, wasn't it? There's no telephone boxes for them to kick shit out of, so have to turn their attentions to horses.
It is nice, actually, that they have actually moved on, isn't it? You know.
Unless you're Claire Balling.
She'll be next.
She'll be cute, right?
So all in all, just one of the best days of supporting Sunderland in the last 10-20 years, sort of thing. You know, we've all experienced derby wins in our lifetime and that, but never like that.
No, never like that.
You know, just watch it again and again. I can't wait for some sort of DVD to come out. I'm pretty sure it will.
Oh, aye.
If they don't, they're idiots.
Has to.
It has to come out. And I'll be first in the line for it, because not many Sunderland games you could happily watch again and again. But that one is a definite.
I'll ask you something, just on the syllabus. Does this one feel for you as good as the 5-1 felt bad?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because that day we were completely bombed by them. And we got our own back.
Yeah.
You know, but obviously it would have been nice if Birmingham's matched them for scoreline. But, you know, I'd take three when it's in their own back garden.
Without a doubt. The fact that it was, like, over there, it was just great. Because they all had to sit through it and watch it. You know, all 300,000 of them, or whatever number it's actually up to now. No, they have to
I think
sit
there's been
through.
2.5 million people through the gates this week.
Really? That's just fantastic support, isn't it? Really is great. but all of them had to sit through it and watch that shite. Watch them get absolutely destroyed a BIOS.
Yeah, all 7.6.
When it comes to that number, though, I wonder if there's just one poor Geordie who's stuck in a turnstile and he just keeps turning it round and round and round and the counter just keeps going up and up and up.
Well, it's just, like you said, it's stupid. It's, what is it? What if they've been genuinely saying 150,000 or something?
In the last week.
It's not 50,000 people three times.
No, they're saying 150,000 people.
Different people went to the game. It's beyond stupid.
I can't believe that is actually now a thing. Actually, people, normal fans, are actually like using that now.
Yeah, it's like saying, I don't know, 200,000 Sunderland fans have come through in the last month or something like that.
Ridiculous.
No, it's the same 40,000.
It's the same unfortunate long, you know, sods having to go through every single time. It's the only 40,000 people stupid enough to keep on going back.
Exactly. It's not like there's a different lot of turned up. Fucking hell. Yeah, right. Well, Newcastle, I'm pretty sure we've talked about it at length now.
Yeah, but still, it's not enough.
Not enough.
We will move on.
We have talked about other things, and there's other things to move on to, such as Everton.
Yeah.
On Sunday. With Decanio destroying one bogey team, can he do it again?
Yeah, bring them on, man. Absolutely.
It's got to be the attitude, isn't it? I mean, everyone's going to be... confidence will be through the roof.
Yeah. I think the fans will make a massive difference on Saturday as well.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one on that front.
It'll be interesting to see what the Mags game will do to the actual gate.
I think it puts another 5,000 on maybe.
I think it could be a huge gate. I think it really could.
Especially with it being the last 3 o'clocker of the season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, some people can't get to the Monday night ones and stuff like that. Work and all that sort of thing. I think it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
Yep.
Especially, you know, DiCanio's first game as well. At home, anyway.
Yeah, I just think that
people would have came for that.
I just think that it's absolutely mad, and it just speaks for him that, you know, that he's completely mental and doesn't do anything normally. The fact that it's his home debut, and he's already stuffed the Mags. We haven't even had his first game at home yet, and he's already got a complete like stuffing of the Mags. Like under his like belt, it's just so him, isn't it? Really,
Definitely.
Sorry, I'm still going back to talking about.
But Everton are a good team.
Very good side.
Let's not forget that. With a semi-realistic chance of the top four, so they're not going to be any pushovers by any stretch. Regardless, it's still going to be hard.
They do have a game though. Haven't they?
I do. They have a game on Tuesday.
And like midweek. So hopefully they'll have a really, really hard game, an injury, a red card maybe, you know, and these things actually help us. But if you look at the record that he had at Swindon, he beat a lot of teams who were much better than them. He obviously knows how to, like, get his team actually, like, to be able to actually beat teams who are actually better. So I think that, you know, that may actually work for us, the fact that you know, no one really expects us to really beat them. So I think that might actually work for us.
Yeah, I mean, it's not one we've... I think, 2 weeks ago, people would have been happy with a draw.
Yeah.
I think Everton
coming
to town. Now, that might have changed.
No, I think I would still be happy, like, enough with it. I really, really fancy us now to actually win it. I really fancy us.
Mm-hmm. I think the difference is before you could see us maybe nigging the draw.
Yeah.
Whereas
definitely.
Now, you know, you'd actually back us to go out and go for the win and maybe even have to settle for a draw.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Don't encourage him. David Boyle doesn't make good points.
I think you said it earlier on. I'm pretty sure you said that's a good point, Dave.
Yeah, but I talk a lot of shite.
I'd say we're probably going to keep it the same. Don't really want to make any changes, do you?
No.
No, I'd keep the same as well, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, back. because Phil Barzy went off injured. Who was the other one who went off
Carlos
injured?
Quiller.
Yeah, he went off like injured, so maybe we'll be forced into like something there. But
we didn't talk about Mangane.
He lives.
Yeah,
he's real. He's not just something we imagined. He's like the defender we all wanted.
He looked fairly decent, actually.
For someone coming on and making their Premier League debut,
yeah, he
in a derby,
he looked just not asked by it. Really,
he didn't look phased in the slightest, did he? You know, he didn't really have a great deal to do, but he looked decent.
And I tell you something. I mean, if you've got some like a big sod actually at the back there, it's a good team actually use them against. Because you know, they will try to hit us fairly hard up there with what's the name, Victor and like Anachibi and so I think that
Jelovic isn't small either.
Yeah, so I think that if he is going to start finally, it might not be a bad game.
But other than barring any injuries, you have to say keep it the same, even Graham. If Wickham's fit.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Obviously, Craig Gardner still misses out. He's going to have a...
What a legend he is now.
What a turnaround.
Yeah, absolutely amazing.
From, if you're homesick, fuck off then. To, he's one of us. So, yeah, that was good. Quite a few. There was also Mailer there, El Mohammadi apparently, and Gavin McCann.
McCann,
I wonder how many loyalty points they all had.
good point.
You know, if I'd applied, I'd have felt a little bit stiffed out of that one.
Especially if El Mohammadi got your ticket.
Exactly.
Fucking hell.
So, yeah. Everton, anyway, going to be a tough one. What do you predict?
2-0 win.
I'll go with a 2-1 win.
2-0 and 2-1. I'm going to go then 1-0. Just the one. And that'll be enough. And we'll be laughing our way to safety. Because what do you reckon? 2 wins?
Yeah, I reckon that's what we need. I reckon that 39 points will be enough. I think that we can get a 5 points. The Villa, I'm not sure if they can get that. Stoke, I'm not sure about it. So,
Well, for us getting results against them too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll have a big say in it, really, won't it?
Yeah. I think that if we can, you know, regardless of what else we do, I think that if we can stop them
going above us,
if in the games that we have like versus them, if we can not really let them win those games, then I think that they'll find it extremely hard to get enough wins from their sort of like games. So I think that, you know, not lose those two and win one more, and we'll be absolutely fine.
That leads on nicely to question of the week, actually. Which is about relegation, and from the contenders for relegation, assuming nobody wants us to go down, anyway, there's probably some there, you know, from some sort of a miners' union, that want us to go down. Yeah, not necessarily who you think will go down, looking at the games and that. Who would you want to go down?
Is this
from the choices available?
Is this with the Mags like involved, or
them involved? I think they're out of it.
Right.
I thought the Mags and Norwich was a bit of a push. I think they'll probably be all right.
I think that they are like involved in it, but
I'll take it if you think it. You know,
I think that they are, and
obviously we want the Mags. One win will see them safe.
Yeah, but where are they going to actually find that from? They've got some pretty tough games.
I haven't looked at their fixtures.
They've only got two out like home, and they're against Liverpool and Arsenal, and they've only won a one like other game all season, which hasn't been at like home, so I think that they could find it tough. I don't know. But anyway, if we are going to leave them out and just, yeah, obviously they're the ones that want to go down, but aside from them, it would have to be really Villa. I would love Villa to really go down and drop and just really, really suffer.
Any obvious reasons, is it?
Well, him, obviously, is actually part of it. But I just think that they're just such a bloody arrogant club. And they feel like they can't be really touched and they can't be hurt. And they have done for you. And I'll tell you what, they've always been quite happy to kind of like be happy when other teams have like failed. And they've been so happy about it, and they've partied along there. And when it was like it has been funny in the past when it was like them, they like Mags. That was funny, but it wasn't, you know, loads of like other teams have like suffered, and Villa always seem to be the first ones like really, really loving it. So I would just love for them to actually go down and really feel like shit for a good long while.
Sorry, Mike, but for me, it's Stoke.
Why is that sorry, Mike?
We have a little, you know, a little thing on the side for Stoke, shall we say.
You reckon, do you?
I've seen a few tweets here and there.
I couldn't care less if Stoke went down. I really couldn't.
Well, I'm just sick of the sight of them, so they can fuck off for all I care.
Similarly for me, I mean, looking, you know, if you narrowed it down to like Wigan, Villa and Stoke, I'm not going to be too sad to miss any of them, to be honest. But given the nature of the question and having to pick one, I think it's Stoke I'm kind of bored of the most. Eh?
Oh, even Stoke fans bored of Stoke now.
Exactly.
They really are.
Yeah. Well, we've been there. You know what that's like. But, yeah, I'm just kind of brand of football, shall we say. Mm. Was a nice refresher for a while. It was different, you know. I quite like the like everybody hates Stoke. Let's kind of like, you know, side with them a little bit because everyone's getting a bit fucked off at them and stuff. But they've kind of lost that bit of edge and they're just a bit boring now. I'm sick of them.
Yeah,
I think they need to go down and have a look at themselves.
I tell you what, if they did go down, it would almost be a really kind of like, you would feel like the story had an end. Stoke came,
they
were
did
okay
all this, and that was it.
And then they went. You know what I mean? I mean, I've got a Stoke supporting mate, you know, Mark Holmes, and he's really is down at the minute about them. He can't see any way that they're actually gonna get enough points or even goals. He can't even see even scoring. So
I think they might stay up, but you know. Picking one
they only need one scrappy win, really, and I think that would be okay. But, I mean, they've got 2-3 huge games coming up.
Yeah.
So I think that if they can get the 4 points from them, it might be enough to scrape safe. But you know, they actually make me think now of the way that really we were in our final season with, like, what year was it, 2001-2002, when we looked like we were going to drop and we escaped at the like a final minute. Obviously we went down with a record points low actually after that, but they at that season they looked like we actually looked then. Can't score, lost the edge, lost the home crowd kind of like buzz. They really do look like they are where we were then, which is bad news for them.
Sorry.
That's no. So now, well.
Worth the wait. We got plenty of comments and plenty of essays, so I'm going to skip through some of your comments if that's all right, people. You already have a say on it. So Paul Jake says he would like Aston Villa because of Darren Bent.
Yeah.
However, he thinks it'll be Stoke that'll take it. The Hender Chop says Newcastle. I'm still not convinced they're a real. They're like the most rank of rank outsiders for it for me.
Oh, yeah.
Robert Simmons says you wouldn't mind seeing Villa go down because of Darren Bent. This is a common theme you'll soon come to realise. Luke from this very here site says Stoke have tried to defend them in the past, but they're just awful. And refers to Tony Pulis as a baseball cap wearing, violent football loving troglodyte.
Accurate.
He dresses like a man you'd find in the bookies at 11:30 in the morning, who'd smash the place up if his horse didn't come in. Prick. Poppy Thompson says Stoke, but really, really, really wants the Mags to go down. As we all do, Poppy.
Mm.
As we all do. That's going to be a big if, though. And Warwick Hunt says he wants them all to go down. Stoke are boring bastards. Wigan just pissed me off. Villa because of Bent and Newcastle. Well, enough said.
Well, there you go.
Comments are plenty on Twitter as well. at Roga Report. ChurchST29, catchy name, says, I want Villa to go down. Darren Bent will find out what a mistake he made leaving Sunderland.
I think he already knows.
Yeah, I think you might know.
Derek Mahood says, Stoke. Just Stoke. Jacka17 says, Stoke, they've brought nothing to the Premier League.
I think that's a little bit harsh, but yeah. I think that they've had their like time.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I think they did for a while, but I'm just a bit sick of it now. Over to Facebook, Stephen Laurison says Villa. Dermot Mitchell says Stoke. And Martin Bates says Villa for me. The poll, though, comes out quite surprising for me.
What, you mean it actually adds up?
I haven't done that math yet, because there's four numbers to add together.
Oh, well, that's not going to happen then, is it, obviously?
No. difficult enough with two. Anyway, who do you want to go down in the third spot? 9% say Wigan. 13% go for other. So assuming that's Newcastle, since nobody said Norwich. Only 31% going for Villa. And 45% for Stoke.
Yeah, really, that doesn't add up to 100.
No, it doesn't. It's 98. We've lost 2% now.
It's just getting worse by the week.
Yeah. Oh, that is some accurate reporting there. I don't mind it when it's 99, because maybe it doesn't count a point. To lose over 1%.
Cheers, SBN.
Yep. Thanks very much indeed. That's bizarre. So anyway, Stoke and Villa, pick your, you know. Nobody really wants Wigan, it seems. It's always a nicer way to do it.
Yeah, that's why, because Wigan's great to actually go to. Yeah.
No, it's not too far. It's cheap.
Yeah.
You can always get a ticket.
Yeah. You can always fill the bloody ground, man, for them.
Exactly, it's class. Yeah. It's a brilliant away day. I don't mind Wigan staying.
We usually do okay. You know, and by that I mean we sometimes win, if we're lucky.
Yeah. Any other business? Not a great deal. There's a couple of transfer links on the site now, thanks to our new fella. Speaking of things on the site, we might as well intro him. Andy, from the internet fame, and Andy78, or SAFC Source, as you may know him on Twitter, is going to be writing for us. He's going to be covering the news, basically, because...
much better at it than we are.
Yeah, basically. much better at it than we are. He seems to actually be able to, you know, instead of us just waiting for him to say something and copying it up, why not go straight to the...
To the source, literally.
To the source, literally. So there's a bit on there about a Ghanaian striker, the feature G, and a Kenyan trialist, all already on there in the matter of days. With more to come, no doubt. So if you want that sort of news and opinion from Andy, now you can get him in more than 140 characters, only on Roker Report. Elsewhere on the site this week, you've got obviously plenty of reaction to Newcastle. You got Carl talking about building on the momentum. Captain's blog.
Yeah, maybe. It depends maybe. It depends if I can be asked to not go to bed.
Right.
And I'm quite fancying sleeping at the minute, so maybe.
No one's allowed to sleep until after the last game of the season. So there's going to be that. There's going to be, obviously, build-up and reporting from Everton too. Who's doing the reporting? Nobody knows at the minute. And that'll do it. Happy, happy podcast.
Yeah.
For once. Not a single grumble.
May there be many, many more.
Yes. Yes. Hopefully we'll be just as happy next week for the 100th podcast after we've spanked Everton.
And maybe we'll even have Dave back again. You know, if we actually like don't lose again or even win, then Dave might actually come back and speak to us.
Or if you're not looking at sizing up horses in the field. Yep, so we'll see everybody later. For another time and another marvellous chat. Say to our adoring public.
Goodbye.
Toodles.
Toodles is back.
That's why we didn't have him on.
Yeah. It's all so clear now.
I knew there was something. Right, see you later. Ta-ra. That's a magic number.